Welcome to Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted. Thank you for joining Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted, where biblical truths are shared. My goal is to uplift and challenge you today to find a place for dyslexia in your life and let Christ take center stage of your life. Oh, one more thing. I want you to know you are the most courageous person I know, even though we have never met. Our journey informs me that you are indeed courageous. You're gifted, you're smart, funny, and kind. So please pause for a moment, take a deep breath, and be blessed. The Bible tells the story of a centurion who had a servant that he was quite fond of. And as the scripture informs us in Luke 7:2, he was close to death. We don't know how long he had been ill or what measure had been taken to save his life, but he was at the point of death, which grieved the centurion. Hearing that Jesus was in town, the Jewish leaders went to him. They described the centurion as someone who loved the Jewish nation and was worthy of being honored, and his request should be granted. Now, what did the centurion want from Jesus? It was that he would heal his servant. The church elders informed Jesus that the centurion had built them a church. I might add that the centurion built a church where he could only enter the outer court called the court of Gentiles. He would be killed if he went any further. Where do you think Jesus often taught when he went to the church? Yes, in the court of Gentiles. Yet knowing this, he built the church anyway. The centurion, based on what he had heard of Jesus, because there is no scriptural evidence that he had ever met Jesus before. Therefore, he asked the church elders to speak on his behalf. Now, what could he have heard? Maybe the centurion heard that Jesus, while attending church, had cast out a demon, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." People that attended church that day, the Bible says, all were amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? He commands with authority and power, and the unclean spirits came out of the man." Luke reports that Jesus' fame went out into every part of the country round about. Maybe the centurion had heard that Jesus went to Peter's home and healed his mother-in-law. As he stood over her and rebuked her fever, she immediately rose from her bed and began to serve those her guests. Maybe he had heard that Jesus had healed a man full of leprosy, who upon seeing Jesus fell at his feet. "Lord, if it is your will, you can make me clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from the man. Or maybe he had heard about the man who was carried to Jesus by four of his friends, and how they tore down the roof of the home where Jesus was teaching, and let the man down through the roof and placed him at the feet of Jesus. Not only did Jesus heal the man, but he forgave him of his sins, the very reason he was ill. The centurion had only one request. "My servant is at the point of death. Please come and heal him." Now Jesus received the message, and according to verse 6, Jesus went with the church leaders. He walked with those he knew despised him and would seek to kill him. They had already accused him of breaking the Sabbath as he and his disciples walked through the field of corn, taking the grain and eating it. Here he declared himself to be Lord of the Sabbath. They knew he had power to heal, and he knew that the church leaders had themselves witnessed these events and were outraged and were looking for an occasion to bring an accusation against him. They had been in the crowd when he commanded the man with the withered hand to stand before him, to stretch forth his hand, and he did so, and the hand was restored that very hour. You can find that in Luke 6:11, where it says that they were filled with madness and talked among themselves what they should do to him. As Jesus walked toward the centurion's home, he received word from the friends of the centurion that he felt he was not worthy of Jesus to come to his home. Now imagine the centurion started thinking about all that he had heard and believed about Jesus, and his unworthiness overwhelmed him. So a message was sent to Jesus. Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my house. Neither do I think I am worthy that I should come to you, but say the word. Jesus, I've been told when you speak, something always happens. I've been told that power attends your word. I've been told that you spoke and there was light. And when you spoke, mountains were formed. That by your word, the sun shines and by day and the moon by night. That by your word, that oceans know its boundaries. So Jesus, just say the word. Just send forth your word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, why am I telling you this story? You know, Jesus was grieved that his own nation questioned who he was, the Messiah. But this man, without question, without demonstration of his power, believed. The story I shared with you came from the Bible. Therefore, it is true. But do you believe the story? Is there anything about this story that you question or don't believe? You know, in John 1:14, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But do you believe what the Word of God is saying? Is there anything about this scripture found in John 1 that you question or don't believe? Yet someone listening is struggling with their faith. They are questioning the power of God because they have often gone to the Word and found no comfort. Someone listening today has read God's Word or heard it spoken, and has often questioned what God has done for others, will he do for me? Is it possible to hold the word of God, stand on holy ground, know that angels are all around you, yet live a powerless existence? Today I want to challenge and encourage each of us, those who are discouraged from bringing their unbelieving heart to Christ. I challenge you to reread Luke 7, of the centurion's testimony. I want you to think about the following questions I'm going to ask you. Why is this story so powerful? What does this story inform us about the gospel? What is transforming about this story? What about this story is designed to build our faith? I believe if we do the following when we read the Bible, our lives will become a powerful testimony of God's grace and a powerful witness of the gospel. And I'm going to only give you one thing you need to do, and that is accept Jesus' authority over you. The Roman soldier believed he had authority over his soldiers because he knew that when he gave them orders, he had the Roman government behind him to back up his command without question. Using his reasoning power, the centurion believed what he had heard of Jesus, the Son of God, was true. He believed that Jesus represented the kingdom of heaven, that he was an ambassador of heaven. Therefore, as a representative of heaven, Jesus was under heaven's authority, which means he had the backing of his Father and relied solely on his heavenly Father to accomplish everything he did. Jesus had his Father's entire kingdom behind him when he spoke on his Father's behalf. He believed that his word would not return to him void. It would accomplish its purpose for that which he sent it. Now Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Daniel and David and Paul and the centurion conscientiously decided to place themselves under Christ's authority and subject themselves to his sovereignty. If you want to live a powerful life, a faithful life, then choose to put yourself under Christ's authority. I want you to remember that faith is not faith if we do not believe that Jesus has authority over us. In other words, faith is obedience to God's authority. Therefore, faith has nothing to do with our feelings, but everything to do with whose authority we surrender to. Jesus has a right to command the blind to see and the lame to walk. Why? Because when the petition was made, embodied within the request is an acknowledgement of putting oneself under Jesus' authority. Secondly, we must acknowledge that the power to heal, restore, and redeem solely belongs to God. I was listening to a singer, and this particular singer had been blind since birth. Now, the singer reminds us that blindness, although not removed, was not a hindrance for God. Whether it be blindness or cancer or disability or singleness or wayward children, unfaithful spouse, financial difficulties, you name it. Sometimes God chooses not to remove some things from our life. However, if we have faith, if we believe in Jesus, when we acknowledge his authority and his right to command us, we will understand and know him. We will choose to bring him glory, and then his glory will rest upon us. And we will say with conviction that of myself, I can do nothing. Because I am under Jesus' authority, nothing is impossible. Thank you for listening to another episode from Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted. If you know an adult with dyslexia, please share these short devotionals with them. For more devotionals, please visit my website at www.wrpublication.com, where you can read or listen to archive shows. Thank you again for joining Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted, and be blessed.